Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
You got a number of teams now in the coaching carousel. Now, I went on a little rant on Sunday doing Fox Sports Sunday alongside LeVar Arrington, and I just raised the theoretical, why can we not use the term fired? Why is everything mutual parting of the ways?
Because you don't want the coach to not get another job. And
but these are professionals that are watching it.
Nah,
the local media is going to have their way. The fans are going to have their way.
Yeah, but you soften the blow. You don't put bad energy in the air. Fire does have a bad word, and you know, as an organization, you do want to protect yourself, because when you're speaking about someone that got fired, well, what was wrong with you? You hired them. So mutual parting of ways.
Well, that's
you
the
know,
GM when he gets a couple of. Couple of hires under his belt, yeah.
I hope I don't disrespect by saying it, but you know, your ex-wife, how crazy, you married her.
Sure.
Right? You walked down the aisle, she had your kids, you know, in a scenario, like, you know, like, hey, we just decided to go different ways.
Had a good run. Yeah, no, there you go. All right, fair enough. Good analogy.
You don't like it, though.
We've just gone away from it. Seemingly.
Yeah.
Or is it just the difference of if you're let go in season, it's okay to say fired versus the end of season, it becomes mutual parting of ways?
I'm not a fan of the in season. The in season let goes are tough.
Well, but I mean, look at what it's done for the Hawks, right? And that's one of the jobs that we talk about, which may or may not be available, right? Indiana, they fired Bjorkgren. You've got Boston is available. A lot of names swirling about there. Portland now with Stotts gone, and a lot of intrigue with Jason Kidd not wanting to really be part of what Damian Lillard was cooking. Is there something? So that, like, that's the question I have behind the scenes. Is there something brewing there? Either
a coup
in LA, or Damian Lillard has already told him I ain't going to be here.
We're on the same page. When I hear, if I'm Frank Vogel and I hear that Jason Kidd has passed up on a head coaching opportunity to coach Damian Lillard and C.J. Watson, I'm shaking in my boots. Jason, why aren't you leaving? You got a great relationship with LeBron. You're LeBron's guy. I came in and I got a championship here. But I came in and I took the deal that Tyronn Lue didn't want to take, which means I'm very replaceable. If I'm Frank Vogel, I do not like to hear that Jason Kidd did not want to go and coach Damian Lillard in Portland.
Well, because remember,
what's cooking?
No, that's right. Because remember, going back to the beginning of last year, it was he's over his shoulder, right? How many mock-ups did you see? Photoshop jobs of any photo from any movie where a guy's looking over his shoulder and it was Jason Kidd looking over Frank Vogel. And everybody was waiting for it to blow up. Will these guys buy into Vogel? Is it going to be okay? How soon does it happen before the snap happens and he's Thanos'd out of here and Jason Kidd takes over? And now this stays. So like it's one of those two things, right? It tells me either Lillard, even though he's got this extension, has decided he ain't going back there, which is a whole other curiosity, right? There's been some reports that are linking him potentially showing up here with the Clippers, which is a curiosity for sure. And how you make all those salaries mesh together will be fun and exciting, of course. But there's always a way. Always a way. You can always finesse the numbers. And let's face it, you go into luxury tax territory.
Find a way.
All Steve Ballmer's doing is reaching into his left sock for that extra money that he had just for walking around, right?
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Right? You figure it out. So, like, those are the only two scenarios that make sense for me. Jason Kidd's already been told something's cooking here.
Huh.
And maybe LeBron's not happy or whatever the case may be, even though LeBron stumped for some of the guys that found their way onto this roster.
Yes.
And we know that, right? Because one of the stories that was circulating today was that Andre Drummond in buyout season was promised to start. Now, part of that is Anthony Davis doesn't want to play the five.
Yeah.
The other is we want you to come to town, so we'll tell you whatever we need to.
And he started.
Most of the time, yeah.
It's your job to lose, and it was his job to lose.
And he lost it. So, as well as your touches and everything else. And look, we talked about it before. Egos get in, right? Your expectations of where you fit in the pecking order. And perhaps he thought he should have had a larger role in things as he went. And he had a couple of big games when they needed him. And other times was a non-factor. Coach, you know, did not play coach's decision at the end of the bench. But this Jason Kidd thing really throws a wrench into all of these other job searches that we're talking about. Because you're looking at four opportunities that are open as we sit. And Atlanta with Nate McMillan. We don't know what's going on there either.
Would you be surprised if Frank Vogel was fired this offseason? Would that shock you
after
winning a championship the year prior?
No.
Why wouldn't that surprise you? I feel maybe I'm just a loyal guy. I know, you know, Jeannie doesn't like letting anybody in the Laker fan. Why would that not surprise you?
Because it's I don't think you get the long leash that you once did. And really, it's all going to depend on what number six says.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
One guy we'll fight about something with, I'm sure. Our buddy Dan Wojcicki joins us on the hotline now. And there it is, the happy song. That's really kind of the Denver Nuggets theme song tonight as they get thumped. At Dan Wojcicki Sports is where you find him on Twitter. Read him in the LA Times. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, Mike, I just want to just let these 1950s Reckenbecker guitar strums just play us into the night as the Denver Nuggets drive over a cliff.
I'll tell you what, man, a little Thelma and Louise thing going on here, potentially.
Hey, Ryan.
Bro.
Good to see Ryan.
Bro, what's up, bro?
Bro.
Bro.
Is that where we're going, bro?
Yeah, that's what
we are old-time bros.
We have to do that when we see each other, bro.
Oh, okay.
Dan will be calling. It'll be the NBA Finals, and he'll be asking LeBron a question. He'll just get the bro text from me, and he knows what's going on.
kind of like when Jason used to, when Ryan does some TV, Jason will be like, hey, adjust your tie. Rub your eye. Let us know that you hear us. Like, all right. And then usually it was the middle finger that started to like rub his eyebrow. You know, those kind of things.
Would I do my middle finger?
No.
Oh.
It was a joke. It's a joke. It's okay. I wasn't trying to disparage you, man.
Yeah, cool.
We can edit it out.
Mike, now you planted that seed. That's an exciting thing to look for.
Well, yeah. Now it might be a variant that we will look for, right? A variation of a photo on a trading card or something like that. Phoenix all over Denver. Without Jamal Murray, speculation of, hey, you know, can they fight? And because I'm a contrarian, I just said, all right, I picked them before the season. I'm not going away from it. And, I probably should have run away from it.
Yeah. I mean, look, you're not going to be right, but at least you have your scruples. And that's something.
Well, I also didn't want to do the L.A. thing because everybody on our staff, Dan, they all picked the Clippers or the Lakers to go to the finals. That seemed boring to me.
I mean, look, I think, and I hope we can get into this, like sort of just kind of like we're going to, I do sort of wonder if eventually like we walk away from some of the stuff this season and we look at it and we say like, well, like how did we not see this to begin with, right? And I mean, because the evidence was there for most of the year. And the evidence in Phoenix was there for most of the season. This was one of the most consistent teams in the league. A team that played upper echelon teams fantastically all year. They kind of check a bunch of different boxes. They have veteran leadership. They have a dynamic wing scorer. They've got a versatile big man, and they've got defensive-minded wings, you know? And so, like, that's kind of the formula. And a good coach, too. That's kind of the formula. But, you know, it's still funny. I mean, you think about how things change so quickly. I think back to the end of game three against the Lakers before we knew, you know, obviously about the severity of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's knee hyperextension, before we knew exactly what Anthony Davis's knee hyperextension would lead to with the groin injury. And you saw a Suns team that was like on the cusp of falling apart, right? Jay Crowder ejected, Devin Booker ejected, down 2-1 in the series to LeBron James, a position you just absolutely don't want to be in. And, you know, they just showed great resolve. And I think you hear this from guys, and Ryan knows this. It's like when you get tested in the playoffs and you come through it, your confidence goes up. And this is a team that is playing with tremendous confidence right now.
Dan, I got to put you on the spot, bro.
Okay.
Damian Lillard calls out and says, I want Jason Kidd to be the next head coach of the Portland Trailblazers. Jason Kidd then comes on and says, hey, it's a first-class organization. Sorry, but no thank you, Dame. I'm going to stay where I'm at. What does that say about Jason Kidd? What does he know that we don't know? It's an exclusive club to be a head coach in the National Basketball Association. Is there a chance that he succeeds Frank Vogel in the near future? What does that mean?
Ryan, it's a great question, and you are putting me on the spot. I think my initial reaction to the Jason Kidd thing and in talking to people was sort of like, well, what does this all mean? And I think what's fascinating is that it can mean a bunch of different stuff. Look, if the Lakers did that to Frank Vogel, it would be dirty, dirty business. Let's just put that out there right away. Like, Frank Vogel has done nothing to not deserve to continue be coaching that team. You know, you can obviously, he had LeBron James, he had Anthony Davis. He helped guide them through his sort of even hand. Help guide them through as stressful of an experience as there's ever existed in the NBA and in the bubble. And then this year, with all the injuries that they had, I mean, and plus, like, coupled with the mental exhaustion and stuff like that, they had them playing hard on defense. Ryan, it is not easy to get people to play hard on defense in this league. So if that were to happen, I just don't think that would be good business. I think it'd be bad.
Well, what do you think LeBron wants? That's really what it comes down to. Other than changing his number, how much does he buy into Frank Vogel with Jason Kidd? We talked about it at the beginning of last season, Dan, that you know this was always going to be swirling there.
That this was like kind of like the drama that sort of awaited, right? And for 2 years, the Lakers have done a good job. Maybe I'm naive. I think that as somebody who Jason Kidd has worked himself out of, I think, some of the reputational stuff that he acquired as a coach in Brooklyn, Milwaukee, by like taking a step back, grinding it out as an assistant, like working with, like becoming the head coach of the Lakers at this point, I think would undo a lot of that goodwill. Is, I guess, like sort of my general point too. So I'm not even sure, like, even if LeBron wants it, like, is that something Jason Kidd wants to do to somebody who Frank Vogel, like, just this week was like, I am amazed at how good of a friend and advisor that this person has become to me. There are other jobs out there that Jason Kidd, if he wants them, can have. I mean, here's a more interesting question. It's sort of like, I mean, what does he think of the Portland Trailblazers?
Well, because that's the second.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that was sort of my first reaction is like, there's changes could be brewing in Portland, and to what extent are those changes going to be? And like, is that a place that, you know, I mean, if you're a guy like Jason Kidd, who's already had two bites at the apple, and you get a third, I mean, you might not get a fourth, honestly, right? If it doesn't work out there, like what's next? And I think, so you get careful about the jobs you're going to take. And I don't know, there are some pretty interesting jobs out there, and if that's what he wants to do, and look, and if the Lakers want to pay him a bunch of money to stay and be on Frank Vogel's staff and to be sort of a safety valve just in case, like, again, like if they get off to some horrible start next year and it becomes a little more palatable to make a change, then maybe that's the better option. But I haven't gotten the sense that they're going to make a coaching change. That's not something that I've heard, and I think when I've talked to people just sort of about that notion, the general census is like, that would be super dirty if they did that.
Well, chaos theory and a lot of column inches. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here. Ryan Hollins in for Jason Smith tonight on the hotline with us. LA Times scribe. He's the man of all things NBA and great Chicago references. I got to send you a Southside shirt as well, Dan. Those new shirts are just fire, man. I got a couple on order, so I'll forward one with a giant stack of Bulls cards that you could laugh at from the early 80s. But let's go back to the Clippers, right? Last night, a three-point loss. I asked this question of Ryan Hollins. I ask it of you. Why did neither Kawhi nor Paul George take that shot?
It's a good question. I don't have an answer. It seemed like, to me, specifically with, like, Paul George, right? Like, that is – Paul George is a he's a very good tough shot maker. Kind of one of the things that he does that makes him special. And in that situation, you'd like to see him take that shot, in my opinion. Like, I just think, like, everything was just, like, a half tick off in watching the play. That it seemed like – I'm going to make the right pass. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to move the ball to the open man because, look, the Clippers have a lot of shooters. They had four of them on the court. I'm not going to count Rondo. They had four of them on the court.
Yeah, but he'll glare at you if you shoot and miss.
Yeah, that's true. But I think, to me, in that situation, especially kind of knowing Ty Lue's acumen, knowing the smarts that they have on that bench, I mean, I would have called the timeout. And I know that's easy to say after you watch a play kind of unravel like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's 12 seconds left. And sort of his reasoning was that they didn't want to take Rudy Gobert off the court. They didn't want to allow the Jazz to take Rudy Gobert off the court because they wouldn't want to insert a more switchable player. Rudy Gobert was on the court. And Rudy Gobert made the defensive play of the game.
Right.
And it just seemed like a really big mistake. And I think Ty Lue is a very good coach. I put him in the class of coaches who actually matter in sort of the NBA. There's less of them probably than most people think, although it's a pretty good group right now. I don't know what you guys thought. I didn't think he had a great game. I thought, the Clippers have the Ty Lue will be better. And I think they can be pretty confident about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, especially Kawhi being better as they move forward in this series. And they should feel okay, I think, sort of about where they stand after one game.
Hey, Dan, no Harden, no problem.
Nope.
You covered the league for a very long time. We've been in the locker room together. Actually, I really enjoyed our time hanging out before the game, just talking life.
Oh, that's beautiful.
This is my guy, man. We're literally together like 82 games out this season, man.
Everybody else hit in the back. It'd be me, you, Jamal, and occasionally Cole Aldrich would crash the party.
But I bring it up. No Harden, no problem. Did you see this coming against the Bucks, in which we thought was probably the most formidable foe outside of potentially the Los Angeles Lakers for the Brooklyn Nets? Did you see this coming, Dan?
No, I didn't. And I think more so from Milwaukee than from Brooklyn. Like, I think my expectations, I don't know about you, Ryan, is that, like, I mean, when I say, like, I wonder when we'll look back at this year, if we'll just kind of be like, it was all there right in front of us. Why didn't we notice it? Was like, I mean, like, of course no one is as good as the Nets, right? Like, it's just, of course, like, there have never been three offensive players like this on the same team in, like, the modern NBA. And I say that with all due respect to Klay Thompson and to Steph Curry, who I think is better than Kyrie Irving. But, like, it's just, like, this is just a different animal offensively, like, those three guys. They will always have the two most offensive gifted, maybe most nights they'll have the three most offensive gifted players on the court. And the luxury they have is when James Harden gets hurt, is that they have the two most offensive gifted players still on the court.
Sure.
And it's just, and by the way, don't like secretly have been playing pretty good defense for the last month too, as they've kind of ratcheted this up as they push into the postseason. So credit to Steve Nash and that staff. They just seem like a juggernaut, guys. Now look, 2-0 series can very quickly become 2-1 series, and I think certainly Milwaukee has been in these positions before. They were up 2-0 in a pretty handedly way against the Toronto Raptors, won two games at home, and you know, Nick Nurse made one big switch, and that was he put Kawhi Leonard on Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the series flipped. Right? Toronto wins the next four games. They win the title. and, you know, everybody in Canada ends up signing with the Clippers. Like that's like, that's sort of how that domino sort of fell. I don't believe in Mike Budenholzer in that way. I haven't seen it, and I'm not sure what that switch is that they can flip to get out of this sort of buzzsaw's way. And, you know, if Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are on the court, I mean, they're going to be really, really good. They've got such a deep team, and their role players are just fantastic. Like, I mean, Joe Harris is like just a perfect complimentary player for that type of team. Bruce Brown is just like a perfect complimentary player for that type of team. And you know, I think, you know, Nick Claxton, Blake Griffin has played very well for them. It's just, they're the favorites. They should absolutely be the favorites.
All right, last one in a minute. You mentioned Budenholzer. Is he going to be another guy out of a job? I'm not looking to fire all the NBA coaches.
Yeah.
But what do you do? And the second part is, if you had one message you can give the Giannis about what he needed to do with this game, what would it be?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, I think probably a switch is sort of on the horizon there. I'm not reporting that. I don't know that to be true. I mean, it's
just say allegedly, Dan.
Yeah, no, that's a difficult one, right? I mean, sure. Like this guy, like they've won a lot of games with him. But, you know, they sort of made the big roster change last year to adding Drew Holiday, and they tried a bunch of different stuff defensively this year to kind of get themselves in this position. And look, they look great against the Miami Heat. Like that was a week ago. Like things change really, really fast in the playoffs. So you don't want to do anything too rash, but, you know, you don't. What other options do you have for fixing things? You know, it's sort of like that's sort of the next logical thing you would change. And so, you know, I would think that they would explore that. As far as Giannis goes, I just think it's like more just like play with a little more offensive confidence. And what I mean by that is it's just like I think it's a command of the game. It's hard. It's abstract. Like, obviously, like, you would love for him to be a 40% three-point shooter, right? You would love for him to be an 85% free-throw shooter. And those would be two good places to start, like, if you want to fix some things.
There you go.
But I do think it's just, like, an overall command of the offense where it's, like, you're going to break teams down and like, everything's going to flow through you and you're going to be a better passer. You're going to get to your spots more. Your spots can be more clearly defined than just sort of, like, get to the rim. And I think once you get to the rim and you get in the paint, you're going to make better decisions. Like I don't view him as the same type of playmaker as some of these other like tippy top great offensive players in the league. Like, you know, the Luka Doncic's, you know, for one example, right? Like the way that he can kind of create for others and stuff. Now look, boy, you guys have got me talking into a circle. I that's kind of where I would start with it, but it's hard. Like, They've got a really, really good team, and it's hard to make changes to a really, really good team because being bad in this league, it just sucks. You want to be competitive.
There's no question about it. Always competitive. Our guy every week, Dan Wojcicki, LA Times, Lakers and the NBA. Pin tweet at Dan Wojcicki Sports. Even if you just hate watch the Lakers, subscribe to the Lakers newsletter at the LA Fair. Times. Well, I mean, that's what we do here, Dan. Thanks as always, and I'll get you that shirt in the mail as soon as I can,
right,
so you
bro.
Can rock and look styling.
Take care of my guy Ryan tonight. All right,
they're always
don't
Dan Wojcicki.
Anything too silly?
No, we got him. I got him. He's got enough hydration and food in him to get through the day.
Perfect. Oh, good, a disgusting bro. Eater he is, by the way.
No, right, no, Dan, amazing. Don't out me, Dan.
All right, no, we'll do that another time.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I want to circle back to my hometown of Chicago. We've got a new book coming out called Unguarded, co-authored with Michael Arkish. It is Scottie Pippen's memoir, a raw, unvarnished look into the life of six-time NBA champion Scottie Pippen and his role on one of the greatest teams of all time. That is the longest damn subtitle in the history of man. Okay, but there's a couple of things that are starting to hit a little bit, and people getting a bit fired up, and we got to parse it out here, Ryan. You've got Pippen, quote, "There's no Michael Jordan as we know him without him. The 90s Bulls teams would not exist as we know them." Okay, fine, sure, nothing controversial there.
That's normal. That's normal.
Let's go through that. Next, Pippen details how he cringed at being labeled Jordan's sidekick and discusses how he could have and should have received more respect from the Bulls management and the media. Now, from the Bulls management, I'm going to go back to this. If they offer you a long-term deal where there's not a lot of money involved and you say yes, that's on you. They got no need to go and renegotiate, now, and especially 30 years ago. Nowadays, you'd pull an Aaron Rodgers, you'd be in Hawaii, you'd be doing all this stuff. And I use him as the latest example, even though his isn't entirely about money. Don't try to tell me that there's not some cash involved there.
Pretty much.
But the reality is we see guys play hardball. Back then it was, I want a raise. I'm outplaying my contract. It's like, good. Good on us that we got you to sign a 7-year deal.
Yeah.
So you want to be mad about that, you be mad on it. And when he had the opportunity to be the leader, the migraine game, no matter what was going on, that's always going to stick. The Kukoc moment is always going to be there. Whether you like it, whatever the reality was of how badly he was hurting, how his sight was affected, everything else, you're never going to be able to say that. It's like a guy, you know, that sits out saying, "I got a little bit of a bad back." It ain't showing up on an x-ray, right? I mean, unless you've actually got a cracked bone in your back, it's going to be like, you could have gone, man. Come on now.
True.
Especially if you want to be the guy, which is what he's kind of saying here, is, you know, at least to a degree. Like the first part, not going to just be quibble with at all, right? I was there. I mean, that's my upbringing. I watched the bad Jordan teams and watched and marveled at him from the 300 level. And then they started to win, and that was the end of being able to get any tickets. And I remember that very, very well. Hell, I was there when Reggie Theus and Artis Gilmore and those guys were running around back in the day. How about that? Before he was hanging out on Saturday morning TV, I'll have you know. Look it up, people. Look at his IMDb. Pippen discusses what it was like dealing with Jordan on a day-to-day basis while serving as the quote-unquote real leader within the Bulls locker room. You got a decade of NBA experience in you. You've been around this game a long time. How do you react to that last line? The quote-unquote real leader of this squad.
That's...
Is it a bridge too far?
Look, man, I don't think there's any reason to take anything away from Scottie Pippen other than comparing him to Michael Jordan, and there's no comparing. I wasn't in that Bulls locker room, but I've never gotten the vibe that Scottie Pippen was the leader. He was a leader.
I've never gotten
the vibe that he was the leader. Now, quite possibly, if we're going to play devil's advocate, Michael don't get along with everybody. Michael has, and he let you know, there's an exclusive club of players in which he vied with, and he vied with you, or he did or he didn't. Doesn't matter if you're a teammate, coach, whatever, you are either on Michael's team or not. Scottie Pippen may have been the guy putting out the fires that Michael was setting in practice, apparently. So maybe there's some leadership qualities there, some fires that were put out by Scottie Pippen in order for the Bulls to be the Bulls. Because Michael Jordan's leadership from watching The Last Dance, we all brought into question. We've heard the stories, right?
What's the leadership style, right? Do you respond to it or not? And look, everybody's an NBA player. While Jordan's up here at the top, everybody else is a pro cashing a check.
And that don't
sit
well with
guys. So those egos are there.
Yeah.
Right? Because they've been the best their whole life, and they know if they're not in that situation, maybe they're the number three guy over in another spot.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas here, they're number six, just the way things are constructed and how Phil Jackson runs his squad.
Dude, forget that. Common respect. Just man to man.
Right.
Like, I don't care who you are. Just common respect, man to man. And Jordan was rubbing people the wrong ways. And maybe Scottie Pippen was the buffer between a lot of things in which these guys bought in to come to play. I don't care who you are. The my way or the highway way, you know, it works somewhat then, but it doesn't always work.
He took it personally.
Yeah. Yeah. And And like I said, as great as Michael is, I don't want to speak to the type of person he is because I wasn't in that locker room. But like I said, Mike is a tough cookie, you know, and that type of leadership does not always go over well. And I know how great, no one can question Michael's greatness on the court, but to be second fiddle, third fiddle, fourth fiddle, that's a tough go sometimes.
See, and I've heard the arguments and just have to raise my hand because I've already seen it going on social media. If your answer to this is, what did Michael win without Scotty? Mm. Or what did Scotty win without Michael? You've put them on the same level.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what you've done by getting into those discussions. Ralph and I having a little of this in the hallway because he knows my Chicago roots and where he can needle, where there might be a little bit of trouble festering, he's going to try to do. And the Bulls have been irrelevant for a long time. You've got a couple of stars that are interesting to watch how they develop, right? With LaVine stepping forward. Kobe White looks like he can be a baller, but he's not a complete picture.
I like Kobe
yet,
White.
Right? There's a lot to like there, but he's not a finished product. So we'll, you know, when we look at the next iteration of this Bulls squad, can they lure a free agent? Do they get relevant again? In the interim, you got this book that's being teased, and I can't wait to see. Michael Jordan was out at the NASCAR race this weekend. Like, we saw him walking around. Let's see if we can get a microphone in front of him to see what kind of response you get from this.
Hey, Mike gave us the last dance. I don't think we're getting anything else. But also,
you know
too,
what? They got a lot of footage there that could put a little bit of a nuclear bomb on this, I bet.
hear the wording, though. Sidekick. You know, sidekick is like, you know, you're a tag along. And I think, you know, for one of the top 50 greatest players ever, let's not take that out of context either. Sidekick is, that's little brother tagging on. Like, I don't think Scottie Pippen was tagging on. Now, I don't know. I'd have to see proof that Scottie was a leader. But sidekick means, you know, you're just one of the guys in the background.
It's
your background
a question,
dancer.
Right? Yeah, no, I think that's an astute point, right, of trying to figure out, astute observation, the idea of sidekick versus partner or whatever other term you might use.
Mike, I would be offended if, you know, the listeners felt like I was your sidekick. That wouldn't offend me, but I'd accept my role.
I'd get over it, man, because the check's still cashing.
The check is cashing. I'll be the sidekick, but, you know, if I'm Scottie Pippen.
But isn't Robin always just seen as the sidekick to Batman?
Robin, being called Robin to Batman.
But even though he got the job done, right?
That sounds.
Because if you watch the 1966 series.
He did.
Robin was essential to a lot of getting Batman out of some trouble.
I feel like being called Robin is better than being called sidekick, though.
See, that was always, in Chicago, it was always Batman Robin.
I don't think that's bad. Batman Robin.
But that's how it always was. The sidekick.
Sidekick's stronger.
I don't remember that like being the narrative.
Yeah, sidekick.
Because it diminished what he was bringing to the table, right?
Steve Kerr might have been a sidekick, right?
Yeah. Okay. He was an ancillary piece.
Yeah. I don't,
big
I don't
shots,
think I'd give him that.
But an ancillary piece.
And I wonder who called. How did they ask this? You know, we're so good in the media just sparking things up. Wordplay, right?
No, but that's it. People just love to play with words. What do we do for 4 hours? Open mouth, say things.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
When last we spoke, we were talking about just the mental side of the game, particularly when you get to the playoffs and owing back to the bubble a little bit, right? Because we get into both for Major League Baseball and for the NBA, there's some denigration of the championships, right? Folks cutting them out at the knees going, well, they really didn't play through a normal pace, right? All the playoffs in Texas for baseball and then for the NBA, everything down in Florida. So the bubble championship, and it's used as a pejorative term. But talking as we were, just from your years in the NBA, the physical on the court is one thing, but it's all the prep and the mental side of it. And I've been curious. I know there'll be a lot of articles and we've seen some of the Players Tribune kind of things pop up and some interviews along the way of what it was like in the bubble. I suspect we'll get some documentaries, some footage will find its way, as well as some expository writing, right? Some longer books and chapters of, hey, this was our crazy year, either from the Lakers side, from the Heat side, or maybe another team, maybe Phoenix, because they went 8-0, and this was the thing that was the catalyst for what we're doing in the current playoffs. Oh, yeah, the 123-98 beatdown of the Nuggets to take a commanding 2-0 lead as the series shifts back to Denver. We'll see if they can find some life, and we'll talk about that game and the series more coming up in about 15 minutes. But you were talking about just the grind of a normal NBA season, of mentally just even taking pictures to recount and be aware of where you are. Not just like most folks with, hey, this was my hotel room number, but actually trying to figure out where you were based on the grind and being physically tired on a road trip. Give me a little more of that, like trying to balance and keep check with what's going on at home and what that does, and maybe where you hit the wall in a season.
Look, man, the NBA season is so long, especially if you make it to the playoffs or fortunate to. It's almost like four different seasons, especially coming from college where you'd push it out about 30 plus or so games. You got the beginning of the season, you lump in where everyone's getting used to it. You start pushing the All-Star break. That's one little season in itself. Post-All-Star break feels like a whole different season. In playoffs, you make a deep playoff run, you don't have a summertime. And for these guys who went to the bubble, they really had nothing left. Mentally, you've got to condition yourself to alienate yourself from the entire world, especially come playoff time. Because the one thing you can't have is distractions. One mental mistake, one turnover filled game, one, you know, bad shooting slump, and you're completely out of it. So there's such a toll and you have to commit your mind, body, and soul. And when you do that, it eats away at you. And when you win a championship, it's even more. I went to the Eastern Conference Finals, and it took a piece out of me. So for the Lakers, there's a mental aspect element that they never, ever got to recharge, far past the physical side, which we saw the injuries from both the Heat and the Lakers that we spoke about earlier with Pat Riley recruiting LeBron James. But the mental side that taxed those guys, Mike.
Well, and that's the interesting thing, right? Because you can come back and say, well, they got an unexpected 3.5 month break for their body, but they still got to stay in game shape and be able to get back at it as soon as the announcement a little bit of play up and away we go.
Mike, I would go a whole month without having a day off in the NBA. Everybody thinks that, like, oh, you play, you're done. Like, no, whether you play or you didn't play, even if you have practice, you don't have practice, certain guys are going to come in and get good work in. Sometimes you literally don't have a day off. And the time that you get a day off, it's a travel day. So mentally, there's always something. It's always something, and you don't have time. And like I said, it literally eats away at you. And, you know, as I alluded to earlier, you know, you'll forget what city you're in on a road trip. You know, you may not know where you're at. You know, you're plopping down on a bed at 2, 3 a.m., you know. So it's a different type of life, but it takes a toll on you. And anyone who says it doesn't or doesn't get it, they just don't understand. So that's why there's so much respect for the Lakers. Or someone, if you want to belittle that championship, man, let me tell you one thing. There's a very slim window for any team in any sport to go out and win a championship. And you jump on it and you get it. Just go ask the Golden State Warriors. You know, that team should have had more championships. But who knew that Klay was going to get hurt? KD would go down. You know, they'd have the
problems. Draymond would
get
himself kicked out of a game.
Exactly. And you don't know, but you don't look back. It's that slim of a margin where you got to, if you're the Lakers and they saw their chance for a championship, you take it.
Dude, I'm from Chicago, okay? Bulls got their six, but you had how many more were left on the table because of baseball? Obviously, everybody talks about potential gambling suspensions, wink, wink, all those kind of things. But Jordan takes those 2 years off, couple of rings for Hakeem Olajuwon. Good for him. But it's one you'll always wonder about, you know, how far could this thing have gone? Or if they'd stay together, would it have blown up before those other three ever materialized? Especially given what we talked about at the start of the show. You got to listen to the whole thing. Podcast will be up in an hour. The Scottie Pippen book and some of these quotes that are starting to pop up about his feelings and his reaction to The Last Dance, which we've seen a little bit now. Evidently he decided he needed to write a book about it and his feelings from my perspective. And look, I need the Cliff Levingston book next. But when we get down to it, it's the, I'm thinking Chicago, it's the 85 Bears, a team that looked like it could have been a dynasty. And just like that, it's one Super Bowl, fighting between the coaches, free agency rearing its head, right? So all of a sudden, Wilbur Marshall goes, and it starts to splinter. And obviously, you know, you did everything you could to duct tape and bubble wrap Jim McMahon to keep him upright and try to move forward. But it's that same thing, right? The windows are short. You may think about it, hey, we're in our prime, and this is great, but the window closes fast. And guys' motivations change. And how they're buying in, right? Especially now where it's, all right, I could be the second guy here. I've gotten what I wanted, right? For Kevin Durant, he goes to Golden State, thought it was going to be the thing that propelled him. Wins a couple of finals MVPs, but it's still always seen as he joined Steph, which he should have been able to see before he even got there, but thought he could change that by being the guy. Didn't happen.
Yep.
Right? But he got his connections to Silicon Valley, and we see him investing in all sorts of cool spaces. Like, he's another guy. He's not quite in the enigma that Kyrie Irving is. Not Kyrie Irving. Well, he's in a whole other thing. I'm thinking of Kevin Durant. But it's like three guys where it's like, I really would like to sit down and know what makes them tick. Why they get so mad at social media is a whole other thing. But for Kevin Durant, he made his connections, and now he's investing in so many different things with AI and alternate technologies and alternate assets and whatever else. It's cool. But he decided to move on, and he goes not to the Knicks, but to Brooklyn. And yeah. Right. And so you see guys with the direction that they're taking into their own hands of, all right, I'm done with this chapter. Now for the next chapter. And small, shorter contracts, opt-out options, right, after 2 years in a lot of cases, or the one-and-ones. So there's more of that player agency. And so that dynastic thing doesn't happen almost by design at this point.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, you fast forward today, there's two people that I think about. Chris Paul does not know what tomorrow looks like.
Yeah.
They are, the Phoenix Suns are playing at a hellish pace to do everything that they can to work for a championship. They are, and no one's looking at them for a championship. I'm not, but I know that look in Chris Paul's eye. When he looked over at Monty Williams, if I'm not mistaken, was it game three against the Lakers? Pivotal game. And he said, there's no way I miss out. There's no way I miss this game. Now, how hurt his shoulder is, I don't know. I don't know if they win, they lose. Looks like they were by far the better team than LeBron James and Anthony Davis and the Lakers, but they took care of business. There's a look in Chris Paul's eye that understands that he may never have this opportunity again. You talk about a window closing. Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant tore his Achilles a year prior. He missed two years of basketball?
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
He doesn't know Kyrie Irving, injury prone. Okay? James Harden steps out in the game one, can't even play, has not played in the second round of the playoffs. If you don't think that the Brooklyn Nets don't know that this window is here as they set out, elected to sit out, they could have played. They could have limped into the bubble last year. As they sat out.
Well, think about that roster that went into the bubble.
It was a joke.
When they were trying to basically recruit players to come in off of Rucker Park.
Couldn't believe it.
Guys, come in.
Yeah, just completely tapped out, you know. The bubble, it wasn't for everybody, and it wasn't. And those, you have to respect those who chose not to play also. But the point is, when you see a championship, you go get it. When we joined the Lob City Clippers and we came, this is before, obviously, we know it didn't work out, but we looked around and we saw Chris Paul and Blake and DeAndre and Caron Butler and these guys and Jamal Crawford. And we all just had a feeling, man, let's give it our all for a championship. Now, heck, obviously it did not work out, but the commitment was there. You don't know when these opportunities are going to arise. And there's just a look in the eyes of Kevin Durant that you feel championship. There's a look in the eyes of Chris Paul that you feel championship. There's a look in a couple of these guys' eyes
that know that this window could be closing and how quick it closes. Just ask LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who couldn't even make it through the game on his groin. Couldn't even make it through the game. And keep in mind, Anthony Davis sat out the whole darn season just so that he could play in the playoffs. And he couldn't make it, Mike.
Stint comes at you fast, right? All the old commercials. Life comes at you fast.
You think life comes at you fast.
And the way Brooklyn is configured, you were looking at probably, what, a three-year maximum? Like, if you were going to be generous about it, saying, all right, if these guys can piece it together, and Jason been funny about it, saying, look, the over-under on those three playing together is 50 games. He said that before the season. Dude. Like, all right, might be less, but they still might get a title or two out of it the way, if you can configure it where two of them are on the court.
And Blake Griffin's squeezing everything he has.
Let's talk about him in a minute.
Squeezing it out.
Yeah. Let's talk about Blake Griffin. Let's talk about Chris Paul. Let's talk about the chaos here in round two. But Blake Griffin, one of the great examples of just when you thought you were shoveling a little bit on the career, the resurgence and opportunity comes through. And we'll talk about the importance of this title run or whatever it becomes for Chris Paul.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.